Welcome to the Real Man Talk Show. We are here for the real men of Christ, the guys who stand up and try to live a righteous life, following God and following Christ's rules. We just want you guys to know that you're not alone in the things that you go through. We are all here and going through it with you. This week's episode is called Getting Married God's Way. It's Isaiah Thorpe and his lovely wife, and talking about the process they went through to stay in line with God as they got married and started their lives together. This week on the Real Men Talk Show. Welcome to the Real Men Talk Show. We are here standing up for the real men of Christ. And I am here with a longtime friend. I've known him, it seems like, since he was a little baby almost, in film production and TV production. And, you know, he's still around. He's still around hanging with us and doing different things. Please welcome my friend Isaiah Thorpe to the show. How you doing, Zay?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Good, man. Always great to have you on. And the reason that I have you on is because you are pretty much a newlywed, newly married to a wonderful woman. How long have you guys been hitched?
Oh, man. So it's actually going to be a year next Saturday.
Wow. Okay. Don't forget that anniversary. Very important. Advice tip number one. Advice tip number one. Very, very important, man. So good. So tell me about her and how she is and just how did you guys meet? Tell me that first.
Man, so we've known each other since we were kids. So when
we met,
I was 14 and she was 16.
Okay.
And the story's crazy. So at the time, her and her family lived in Illinois. And I had just been invited to go and do some taping for a production called 3ABN, and that's a Seventh-day Adventist broadcast, and they happened to tape in Illinois, and her family was good friends with people over there. So I was there for 2 weeks, and that's where we met. At the time, she didn't have a cell phone or anything, so when it was time for us to, you know, leave, I went back to Florida. She obviously stayed in Illinois. She had like this address book, and she wrote down my phone number and my, and I didn't have an email at the time. Funny story, the email that I have right now is because of her, because at the time I didn't have an email.
Are you serious? So you got your email? Girl.
Yep.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
and you were 14. So you didn't know. You were only 14.
Yeah, I didn't know how email worked or anything.
Right, right. I get it.
But that's how we would communicate primarily, was through email for the first couple of years, until she got a cell phone. And it's funny, before she got a cell phone, she would call me just randomly. It'd be like maybe once every few months. And she would call me when her parents weren't home. And every time she called me, I just happened to be available.
Wow.
Yeah, so we would talk for hours or until my parents got home. And, you know, once she got a cell phone, we just stayed in contact, continued to get to know each other. And then,
So when did you guys link up, and when did things kind of get serious?
Yeah, so we met back up, I believe it was 2017. And I might be a little off on the year, but anyway, that's in the beginning of the year, that's when we started to talk more seriously, and then in that summer is when we made it official and started dating.
Okay.
So for the longest time, we knew that we wanted to get married to each other, but because we were still so young, practically, we weren't sure the steps of how to get there.
Sure.
But in 2021, she moved here, and we made a plan on getting married. We got engaged in December. We were engaged for like 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Not rushing it.
It was like 3 weeks. And
not much difference. Not much difference.
Yeah, but we did the premarital counseling and everything, and then we got married on January 21st.
Okay, we're going to talk about that. But I want to talk about that, the pivotal moment that we talked about where she had some emergencies going on with her folks up north, right? And you actually ran up there to be with her through a lot of it, right? Can you talk about some of that, like with her father and her mother?
Yeah, sure. So so when her dad passed away, her dad passed away in October of 2019, right before COVID. And I wasn't in a position to go be with her right then when it happened. But I was able to come for about a week, and I was able to be with her and her family. And it's funny, at the time, her mom wasn't the biggest fan of me, but I learned that that was because she didn't really know me. Mm-hmm. So when she saw that, you know,
okay, stop right there. So this was when you was swole bodybuilding, right? Big giant fro, face full of beard, just like you did there. So you looked imposing when you stepped in the door, I'm sure.
Oh man, yeah, but no, her when she saw that I was really, you know, there for her daughter. Her and I got along, and we started to build a relationship.
Awesome.
And then about a year and some change later, that's when her mom was sick. And Satavia, my wife's name, she was living in New Jersey at the time, and I was visiting her. We got a call that her mom had a stroke, and so we flew from Jersey to Michigan to be with her. And that was tough, but
I bet.
She's my best friend, so anything that, you know, I could do for her, I was willing to do.
That's awesome. And she's equally yoked as far as the Bible and Jesus, the love for God and all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the main things that drew me to her, was her love for God.
That's fantastic, man. That's fantastic. So while this was going on, I mean, you moved on from the entertainment industry to going after your passion and started studying nursing in the healthcare industry. Can you talk about that? After being on Tyler Perry's show.
Man, nursing school.
Brown and
it was Tyler Perry's House of Pain.
Yeah, this is Carlton Payne and Brown were pulling you back and forth, threatening you, right? Wasn't that it?
Yeah, that was a good time.
That was awesome. Look it up. He's on there. He tried to date the daughter, and they interrogated him before he went out. He was terrified.
Yeah, it sure was. Good time though.
Absolutely. Yeah. But, so, go ahead and talk about nursing school and that experience, because you put in a lot of work, a lot of study on that over the years.
Nursing school was quite the journey. I'd say it was cool because I got to go through it with my best friend. He's also my cousin. His name is Malcolm. And man, we. Put it this way, if someone offered me $500,000 to go back and do nursing school all over again, without hesitation, I'd turn them down.
Crazy.
That journey was insane, man. A lot of studying, of course. But what people don't really talk about is the politics of nursing school and how some of the professors can be and how, at their discretion, they can make your life very difficult. December 12th was the date of my pinning, and it was so surreal. It didn't even feel real that, you know, we had finished, it was like 20 months of a nursing school. And
So what drew you to nursing?
So when I was 13, I had a really, I had a near-death experience where my intestines twisted together.
Whoa.
And at the same time, my appendix ruptured.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so I had to have I was rushed to the hospital, had to have emergency surgery. And I was in so much pain. I was the type of pain that I was in. I was in so much pain that I was mute. Like, I didn't even have the energy to scream that I was in pain.
Wow.
Most painful thing I've ever experienced. But when I look back at that time, I had this one nurse who was just phenomenal. So when I think back to that time of my life, my first thought are positive ones. And it was because of the experience that I had with that nurse. So that experience always stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And then as I got older, I always wanted to be in a career where I could help people. Mm-hmm. And I started to develop a passion for how the body works and healthcare in general. So all those meshed together is how I found myself wanting to do nursing.
Good for you, man. Good for you.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Tavia.
Mm-hmm.
What else makes her special to you that you wanted to make her your wife?
She is the sweetest, most giving person that I know, and it all comes from a genuine place. She's the type of person that will look after everyone first. Before her. Mm-hmm. And she's so creative. Mm-hmm. And what's special about that is that she wants to use her creativity to spread the love of Jesus.
Amen. That's awesome. So what kind of creativity? What does she do?
So right now, she's working on her YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And she's working on her Etsy shop. And on her Etsy shop, she she makes stickers that have encouraging sayings. Sometimes they're Bible verses, sometimes they're just encouraging phrases. Yeah, so she's working on those two things right now. She has so many ideas, and the goal of what she wants to do, she just wants to be able to help people, especially given the things that she's already gone through, the tragedies that she has suffered.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to help other people that are struggling as well.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, okay. So talk about when you proposed to her, what was the setup, how did that work out? And then we'll get to the actual marriage and going into married life from single life as a young man. How old are you, by the way, these days?
I just turned 26.
Wow. Super young still, man. Super young.
Yeah.
So, okay, the proposal, the big proposal. Talk about it.
I had been trying to find a place somewhere in Florida to do it. And so I actually talked to one of my friends. Her name is Lizette, and she likes to travel. She's the traveler of our friend group.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked her brain about, you know, places that would be good to travel. So I picked her brain about places that would be good to do a proposal. And mm-hmm. so she sent me back this list of places. So I looked them up. And I settled on, I can't remember the name. It was like a garden in Winter Park.
Okay.
And so what I did is, about a week and a half before the proposal, she was out shopping or something. Tavia was. And so I asked my friend to meet with me at the garden so we could kind of scope the place out, because I wanted him to do the pictures. And so we scoped the place out, found a great place. Fast forward to the proposal. So we're driving over there, me and Tavia, and I put a blindfold over her so she doesn't know where we're going. She has no idea what's going on. She just thinks that we're going on a date.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get to the garden, and I walk her over to the spot, take off the blindfold, and she's looking around. She finally turns around and sees me on one knee. That's when I proposed to her, and then I had my friend kind of off in the bushes taking pictures of her reaction. And it felt magical. It felt surreal that after all those years of knowing her, that, you know,
mm-hmm.
took the step to propose.
That's awesome. So what did you do after she said no? I'm just kidding. Okay. All right. Let's talk about, you had mentioned you guys did marriage counseling. So talk about that. Was that through the church or how did that go? And like, how many sessions did you have to do? What was that like?
Yeah. So it's funny. We did premarital counseling before we got engaged, because we already knew that we wanted to be married. So yeah, it was through the church, and we have a pastor that we trust, and he's a really good friend. And we did it with him, and it was over a span of about 3 months. We did maybe 10 to 12 sessions somewhere around there. And
pretty in depth. What kind of different things that you guys talk about?
We talked about everything from finances to what intimacy and sex looks like in a marriage. We talked about history, our separate histories, and how we were raised and how that plays a part in how we perceive certain things. And we used like a survey, I think it's called like marriage enrichment, where we had to go through a pretty lengthy survey that essentially would predict where our strengths would be as a couple and where our weaknesses would be. And we had a lot more strengths than weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, our weakest area, we scored a 70%.
Wow.
So
that's not bad.
It was really in depth. It gave us an opportunity to be vulnerable and just be like 100% real on certain things that we might not have talked about before. And what was cool is in the last session is when we talked about intimacy and what sex looks like in marriage. And he had his wife there for that session, just to give a woman's perspective. So that was really great.
That's great. That is really thorough, and that's awesome. I remember when I had marriage therapy, it wasn't that thorough. It's maybe 5 sessions, something like that. But it was through the church as well back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so at the situation where you're getting married, are you still living at home? Where is she living? What was the setup before you guys joined?
Yeah, so at the end of 2021 is when we really started to narrow down apartments and trying to figure out where we would be living, because at the time we had a date, which was January 21, and we knew that we wanted to already have an apartment the day that we got married. Mm-hmm. So in December, we found our apartment, and she was staying at like a long-term Airbnb at the time. Okay. So we got the apartment at the end of December, and we moved all of her stuff into the apartment. So she stayed in the apartment by herself for about a month, mm-hmm. and I was still living at home.
Okay.
And so the day that we got married was January 21st. Mm-hmm. After the marriage ceremony, we went back to our apartment, and it was just a surreal moment being in our apartment, finally married. We're on our own. It was great.
Awesome, man. And we're gonna talk about that part as well. So, the big day, the big wedding. Thanks for the invite, by the way. But that's all right. I'm still love you, bro. Still love you. It's all good. It's all good. We're still family. Talk about the wedding date. What was the setup for that, for the wedding?
So it was actually extremely small. We essentially eloped.
Okay.
we only had a couple like two friends that that essentially mentored us in our journey as a couple. They're a bit older.
Mm-hmm.
Not too old, but they were there. And then our friend is a pastor. She's the one that married us. And it was just the five of us. We found a really nice property from someone in our church that mm-hmm. was nice enough to let us use their property. Ton of acres, had a barn,
horses,
everything. And we got married like on a Friday evening.
Mm-hmm.
It was really intimate. We did pictures after.
So did she walk down the aisle and all that stuff? Did you guys do all that stuff?
Yeah, so we simulated something similar. She actually got this really nice like white carpet with a nice pattern on it. And I walked first.
Mm-hmm.
And then her friend walked her down the aisle to me.
So what were you thinking when you saw her coming down the aisle?
It was a lot of, wow, is this real?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, God, for putting this woman in my life and allowing us to grow together.
Amen. Amen. Y'all have been through some stuff. All right, so I got an intimate question for you. And you could tell me, this is the Real Men Talk Show. We're transparent. We're open. You know, we want our guys to open up. We don't want our guys to suffer in silence.
Absolutely.
Did you cry during your wedding?
Yeah, I had a couple tears. I had a couple tears.
There you go. That's what's up.
It was when she was reading her vows.
Oh, really?
Because we both decided to handwrite our vows.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, about halfway through, she was reading hers. Yeah.
She got you. It's all good, man. It's all good. Ain't nothing to be ashamed of. Make her cry.
No, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed.
That's right. That's right. That's what's up. Okay. Yeah. So you guys get married. Talk about when you guys first like moved in together, because that's a big change for you. She might have been living by herself. Actually, big change for both of you. First of all, talk about like maybe the first week or so. How was that? And then we'll talk further. We'll dig further into that, because that's what I really want to get to.
Yeah, honestly, the first week was great. We got back home the day of our wedding,
mm-hmm.
and we hung out for a little bit, just reminisced on our relationship journey, and then we got to packing, because that weekend for our honeymoon, we decided to go to Tampa, found an Airbnb. And so we did couples massages.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a good time. We found a really nice restaurant that we went to, and yeah, we just took time to be with each other and really enjoy each other.
That's fantastic. Okay, yeah. After the honeymoon, back to real life.
Come back. Honestly,
so you're working and doing nursing school, right?
Oh, well, okay. So just
real life.
Rewind real quick to the wedding day. So we got married. I think it was around 3 p.m. It was around 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
That morning, I had to go to lab for like 4 hours. I got up at like 7 a.m. Had to be there by 8. Was there till like 12. Then I had to rush. Then I had to rush over.
Yeah,
to the barber.
Oh, you had to get the cut. Yeah.
I had to go to the barber, get the cut.
Mm-hmm.
Went back to my parents' house, got dressed. Chris, I got all the way essentially it was a ranch, all the way to the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
Realized, forgot the ring.
Oh, no.
Had to drive.
That's how it happens, man. That's how it happens.
I had to drive all the way back to my parents' house. And then I drove back and I hit getting out of school traffic.
Oh man, school buses and all that.
Yeah, but I finally got there. Yeah. Anyways, okay. Fast forward to after the honeymoon. I had to go right back into studying. It was, and she was working as a nanny too.
Okay.
So It was a little chaotic because I was smack dab in the middle of nursing school a week prior, just started my third semester.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little hectic moving, trying to get the apartment set up, have it looking nice.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely chaotic.
Yeah. Both you guys working, this new relationship, new place. So, these are the times you got to figure out, okay, is she gonna cook dinner? You gonna cook dinner? You just gonna eat something quick out of the microwave? How are the finances set? Do we have separate accounts? Do we have joint accounts?
Yeah, all that.
Same church? You go to the same church that you normally go to, or
we go to the same church.
You got to figure out vehicles. She has her own vehicle. You have your own vehicle.
Yeah.
I mean, and then insurance and.
That was another thing we had to do. Yeah, figure out the insurance and. But honestly, man, she's so great because, so I work nights, and I was going to school, and she had no problem like handling all of the cooking.
That's awesome.
Yeah, like literally 98% of the time when I would get off of work at like 7 a.m. she was already up, either actively making breakfast or she already had breakfast made.
That's awesome.
And it was never something that like I specifically said, hey, I want this. That's just what she did.
Mm-hmm. That's really awesome.
And she was a great support system through nursing school.
And she tolerated you being away so much. And like, what were her hours? Since you work nights, what were her hours?
So she works Monday through Thursday from about 12 to 5.
Okay. Mornings to spend together pretty much. And then,
mornings. And then like a little bit before I would go into work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But then like when I would be working multiple nights in a row, it'll be like, okay, I leave home, get to work for 6:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. I get home at around 7:15 a.m. We'll eat, talk for like a few minutes, and then I'm pretty much asleep until 5:30 p.m. next day to go back to work.
Right.
So, and then there's studying. I gotta get in as well. So it was a lot, man.
That's crazy. Yeah, because you never had any time. Never.
I never. Any
time. Hey, never. Isaiah, your favorite team is playing. You want to cover them?
Man.
I can't, man.
And I wanted to so bad. But it's like if I don't study, then there's a really good chance that I fail. And if I fail, that just pushes back the entire timeline.
That's and it definitely was so much important for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely what was more important for sure. Okay, so what about like personal habits? Is she a slob? Is she cleanly? She sounds like someone that's organized and cleanly. What about you? You know, we know you're a slob. I've seen your car. But you know, what was that like? Any things you had to adjust to or get used to with a new wife in your house?
We both had to adjust. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that I wouldn't say we struggled with, but that was something that we wrestled with for a lot of the first year, was just trying to find our foundation and understanding that we have our own ways, but we also need to like meet in the middle and figure out how to make it work for both of us.
Right.
And not get on each other so much about, you know, the little things. Like, for example, if I leave a couple dishes in the sink overnight, you know, she's not, well, why didn't you wash the dish? Like, she's not really getting on me about it. If she leaves, like, you know, some makeup and a shirt on the bathroom counter, I'm not, you know, going crazy over it. I mean, that's, in the grand scheme of things, you know, that's something that can be addressed in a conversation rather than just going full nuclear on something like that.
Right.
So it was a lot of, that first year was a lot of both of us just picking our battles and trying to figure out how to make, how to bring two lives together.
Right.
And how to make that work.
Okay, what about moodiness and that time of month?
Man, she's actually she's not bad. She's not. Like, you hear the horror stories that some people go through. She's nothing like that.
That's awesome.
Her thing is just, you know, some pain here. She might feel sad, but bro, we've the entire time that we've known each other, there has never been like an argument. We've had disagreements, but there's never been someone yelling at the other or anything like that.
Okay. Well, just keep in mind, arguments can be healthy. Just putting it out there. So if you do, you know, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
All right. So let me go through this list, 13 marriage tips for a new husband and wife. I found this on the internet.
Okay.
So the first one, vow to God that you will treat each other right. And it seems like you guys have already done that. Number two, find someone who compliments you. That definitely sounds like that's the case.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stay strong during tough times, which you did with her parents and stuff, even before you were married. So,
yeah.
Now, do you do this? If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. That one is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do that. Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you believe in the pretty much happy wife, happy life?
Absolutely not.
No?
No. I believe in happy house, happy spouse.
Okay.
I think it goes both ways.
Yeah, absolutely. There you go. All right, let me see here. Have separate bank accounts. How did you guys work that out?
So that's something that we're still actually working on. So we believe in having like one joint account where both of our money gets pulled into, and then we each have our own separate account for ourselves as well. So it's kind of
makes
both
sense.
Ways.
Yeah. Makes sense. I'm good with that. See a marriage counselor if problems arise. So
absolutely.
Yeah. You believe in that? Cool. Mm-hmm. Remember that no one is perfect. That is a good one.
That is a good one.
Know that marriage is two imperfect people coming together, not two perfect people, just two best friends who love each other enough to choose each other to be their partner. Walk in a spiritual path towards God together. Amen. I believe in that.
100%. Yeah, 100%. So
that's some good advice. Consult often. I don't know what they mean by that.
That's all it says, is just consult often?
That's it. Consult often.
Well, I'll say something that we try to do is once every couple months is we'll set some time aside and we'll ask each other essentially how the other is doing. And we usually do it over like a really intimate setting.
Right.
So it provides a space where we can be like 100% honest with each other without the other getting defensive because of the setting that we're in.
Very important. Very, very important. Pray and read the verses of God together. Do you guys pray together?
We pray together. I will confess that I think it's something that we plan on doing even more in 2023, because since there was so much going on in 2022, there were times where, you know, we didn't do that as much as we would have liked to. So that's a goal that we have in 2023.
Awesome. Okay, let's see. Decide how much time you would like to spend together. It looks like your job's kind of dictate that right now. But I mean, what about vacation? You guys got plans for to take a break together or anything like that? I mean, it's only been a year, right? So
yeah,
still pretty new.
That's another funny story, actually. So, camping is something that we've always wanted to do.
Oh, she likes camping too.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome, man.
So, yeah. So one day we just walked into a Bass Pro Shop just to look around, and you know how when you go into a store and sometimes there's other people from a third party trying to sell you on something?
Yes.
So that's what happened to us, and you know, we weren't really, you know, trying to do that, but God was pretty convincing. So we actually ended up walking out with a vacation where we could pick where we wanted to go for 3 nights. It was all paid. All we have to cover is how we get to the place and food.
Okay.
And it only cost us like $120.
Okay. Sounds interesting. So
that's something that we plan to do in 2023. Okay. It's going to serve as like a second honeymoon, because the first one was obviously kind of cut short because of, you know, real life.
Sure.
So.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then two.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then two, we also make time for each other. For dates, whether it's something simple as, you know, just going out for a walk, or if we, you know, go out to dinner, whatever it may be, we try to make time.
Excellent. Very, very important. If you're into camping, a spot that's really cool is Fort DeSoto down at the end of down by St. Pete. They have a camping site.
Fort DeSoto,
where they have like little waterways and you can kayak through there, and there's a beach there. You just set up your camping site and go. People take RVs down there, go down there with a tent. So, you know, check it out. Look into it. For kindly express your feelings and needs. Gotta sound like you do that already.
Yeah,
still you do all this. You do all this stuff. Get out of here. Something sounds like you'll do also spiritually grow together.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Absolutely. This is very important. Never take each other for granted. You guys are newly married and life is hectic, and you might eventually take her cooking for granted or doing stuff for you for granted, but try to always keep mindful of that she is very important, very special, a special gift in your life, you know, so try and always keep that in mind. And another thing that you had mentioned is picking your battles, which is very, very important, a lesson that I learned. You know, you can get all upset about, my wife, say she might get upset about, you know, leaving a pair of drawers on the floor in the bathroom or, in the living room. But, you know, what is the bigger battle to really make a point on? That's not really a big deal. You guys are already practicing. Mm-hmm. So, and it sounds like you guys are in pretty good shape, man.
Trying to, man.
Hey, all right. When's the kids coming? You guys have a plan?
So our ultimate plan is to, so I want to work for a couple years, eventually, you know, get into travel nursing. So, I mean, we'd like to have our first kid, right before we start traveling.
It's a good idea. What my nephew did, he and his wife have been married 27 years, I think. Okay. But before they had kids, they did tons of traveling and a lot of experiences as a couple before things got more complicated with children. So it's just stuff there, man. So it's really, really good. So happily married, Isaiah.
Yeah.
Good for you, man. Congratulations, man. I'm so proud of you, bro. You're really, really doing it, and you're walking with God through your marriage, man. And I think that's just amazing. Absolutely. A blessing, man. And any advice for guys that are on that path or already in their first marriage? Any advice for those guys out there? Say pre-marriage, they're thinking about getting engaged. What would you say to a fellow that's watching?
I would say that the woman that you're looking to marry, be able to accept her for who she is, and don't try to change her based on the standards that you have. I think it'd be best to already find someone that completely aligns with the major non-negotiables that you have, and go from there. Because trying to change someone, it never works out. And definitely consistently talk to God about it, and make sure that you can truly envision her as the mother of your children. Because if you can't, it's almost like. And of course, this is for people who want to have kids. If you can't, then why are you marrying her?
Wow. Okay. Awesome. All right. What about someone that's in a new marriage and they're just starting out? Any advice for those guys? Just moving in together, left your own crib, you're sharing it with your lady now. Any advice for those guys?
I would say focus on building the foundation of the marriage and what that looks like practically. Is doing devotionals together, praying together, and going to seeking out experiences where you can gain knowledge about what a healthy marriage is supposed to look like. For example, Tavi and I think it was probably 3 weeks after we got married, our church was having this 2-day marriage retreat, kind of intensive retreat. And so we went to that, 3 weeks after we just got married, because we just wanted to build on our foundation and learn how we can best build the foundation of our marriage.
Right. Awesome, man. That's great, man. So thank you very much for giving me your time out of your busy schedule, man. I'm glad I finally caught you.
Of course, man.
And I love you, bro, and God bless you, love man. You, thanks again for being on the Real Man Talk Show. So Real Man Talk Show is produced by Cuffworks Media, also executive produced by 24 Flicks. Be sure to check out our episodes. We will be on YouTube on the 24 Flicks channel as well, 24flicks.com. And anywhere you get your podcasts, we'll be on there. So thank you guys for listening and watching. Peace out. See you next time.